Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's Word for our consideration this morning continues our look at the book of Ephesians, fourth chapter, and the first few verses of chapter 5. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. I recently came across a feature in Reader's Digest called 10 Inspiring Stories of Extreme Forgiveness. They ranged from families of murder victims to those affected in war-torn Rwanda, to those who lost loved ones in car accidents, to those who were abused. In each instance, those who were the victims somehow found the power to forgive. Now, why would they be viewed as extreme? I think we get it. Those are some pretty big sins, aren't they? The people had seemingly every right to be bitter and angry, and we would totally understand if rage overcame them and they wanted to exact some revenge, make the people feel some of the pain that they had endured. You see, we get it all too well. So when we hear Paul say what he has to say to us this morning, it makes us shudder. For the fourth week in a row now, we are dealing with the section of Ephesians that is heavy on sanctification, on Christian living. And I don't know how many times I've read this section before, but it never hit me like it did when I read it this time, how extreme God's words are to us today. Look at it again. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Get rid of every kind of bitterness, rage, anger, quarreling, and slander, along with every kind of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Be imitators of God. Walk in love. Can we honestly even begin to look at this list without thinking, this is impossible? Every kind of bitterness? Every kind of anger? Not even a little bit of quarreling? And then on top of that, we're supposed to be kind and compassionate? We're supposed to imitate God? We're supposed to walk in love? And then we're supposed to do it all perfectly? Friends, I don't think we have a hard time understanding how hopeless we would be on our own. But God has not left us alone. He has sent His Son. He has sent His Spirit. And this morning we're going to see in these verses from Ephesians that it's the work of the Son and the Spirit that enable us to carry out these extreme words of our God. It's the unity that we find in the gospel that allows us to be one forgiving family. Last week, Pastor Schlicht reminded us that part of our gospel unity means that we have put on the new self. It's that new creation that God made us when the Holy Spirit created faith in our hearts. And in the following verses, Paul gives his readers some very specific things that he wants them to do because they have this new self. Things like telling the truth, settling differences quickly, working hard and instead of stealing, speaking well of others. And so it's in the middle of that list of things that Paul wants his readers to do that we pick up in our verses today. And it's in the middle of that list that Paul says something quite dramatic. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That word that we translate as grieve means to irritate or make sad. Well, what would make the Holy Spirit sad? Paul goes on, he says things like bitterness, anger, rage, quarreling, slander, malice. Doesn't that list seem a little bit strange to you? Did you notice what's not in that list? No mention of murder. No mention of abuse. No mention of bloodshed. Those extreme sins that inspired that extreme forgiveness. None of the biggies are in there. How many times have you heard someone who had to do jail time for bitterness in the second degree? Ever gotten a ticket for premeditated anger? Why would Paul say that these are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit? But just think about it for a second. How many marriages are now divorces because bitterness became anger and then downright hatred for the one you used to love? Or how many of you have been less than happy at your jobs because your boss can't control his temper or your coworkers can't rein in their gossiping tongues? And you know what? In all of my years of being a pastor, which is almost 15 now, I've never had anyone say that they were leaving the church because there was too much murder and too much armed robbery going on. But I have had people leave the church because of lies that were told behind their back, because of bitterness that never was resolved through the power of forgiveness. And how much mileage do you think the devil gets in our midst over a careless word here or a thoughtless action there? And then combine that with our ugly urge never to forget any wrong that's been done to us. And you can see why these things might grieve the Holy Spirit. And you can see why God tells us to get rid of all of these things. And you know that by ourselves we can't. Perhaps you remember the movie Toy Story from a while back, and I'm talking about the very first one, not the second or the third one. In that movie Toy Story, the story of the toys are chronicled as they have adventures trying to return to their owner, a young boy. Do you remember his name? I'm guessing that most of you do. Even though he wasn't a main character. The reason that boy's name is remembered is because of what he did with it. On the bottom of his favorite toy, Cowboy Woody, on the bottom of his boot, the boy wrote his name in permanent marker so that in case that toy was ever lost, anyone who found it would know that it belonged to Andy. Friends, that's what our God has done for us. We are not on our own. We're reminded of that in verse 30, where Paul says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." That picture of a seal is something that was used as a means of identification, a means of ownership. It was used for protection. God has sealed us. He's marked us as his own. He's marked us with the Holy Spirit. At our baptisms, God placed his name on us and claimed us to be his very own child. Why? So that we might be with him, protected for the day of redemption. God so loved us that he promised to dwell in us. God lives in us through his Holy Spirit, through that gift of faith which he's given us, and he helps us through his word to carry out the things that he tells us to do. But look at that list. How can he even ask us to do those things? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Therefore, be imitators of God as his dearly loved children, and walk in love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How can God ask us to do those things? It's because Jesus has already done them for us. There was not a single time in Christ's life where he slandered or quarreled, even with the Pharisees who were constantly trying to undo him. There was not a single time in Jesus' life when bitterness overtook him, even with his disciples who abandoned him. In every circumstance, Christ was compassionate and kind. And we can clearly see how forgiving he was on the cross, even willing to forgive those who nailed him there. What God demands from us, Christ has already done perfectly for us. And then he offered up that perfect life as the once-for-all sacrifice for all of our sins. In place of the stench of our sins filling the nostrils of God, Christ sends up a fragrant sacrifice, a pleasing sacrifice, so fragrant, in fact, that when God smells us now... Never thought of God smelling us, did you? When God smells us now, there's no hint of the stench of sin, but only that pleasing smell of Christ's sacrifice. We are forgiven 100%. Do you understand what that word forgive really means? It comes from the Greek word charismenoi. It's the same word that we get our word grace from. So for forgiveness literally means to deal graciously with someone. And we know what grace means according to the Bible, right? Grace is undeserved love. So when God calls us to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, it has nothing to do with whether the person deserves it or not. It has nothing to do with how badly they have wronged us or how sorry they are for it or not sorry for it. Forgiveness is completely grace-based. It's undeserved. It's the same thing that God did for us when he forgave us, when he took away all of our sins when we didn't deserve it. So how can we become one forgiving family? How can we be imitators of God and walk in love? It's only through the potent love of Jesus. Notice how carefully our life of love is bound with Jesus' forgiving love. We forgive because Christ forgave us. We strive to imitate God because God loves us dearly as his children. We walk in love because Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Every act of holy, sanctified living is empowered by Christ doing something for us. It's empowered by the gospel. So how can we carry this out? It's simple, really. One, remember who you are. And two, do it. Who are we? What has Paul told us in just these short verses? He's told us that we are dearly loved children whom Christ loves, whom Christ has given himself for. We are forgiven children whom God has made clean and has sealed us for the day of redemption. We are imitators of God. That's who we are. So when it comes to being a forgiving family, just do it. I think sometimes we make our lives of sanctification, this walking in love, too hard. We make it too complicated. It's not calculus. It's not difficult. It is hard work, however. You see, Christian love is an action. Christian love is something that we choose to do. So challenge yourselves today. Take a look around you and see what you can do. And then do it. Be kind to someone. Don't wait for someone to be kind to you. The kindness of Christ covers you. So when you see the opportunity to be kind, do it. Be compassionate to one another. Share someone else's burden. Look around and see someone who's struggling. Offer to help. The compassion of Christ covers you, so look for the opportunity and do it. And especially forgive one another. If we're going to wait to forgive until we feel like it, we're going to be waiting for a lifetime. Remember that the forgiveness of Christ has literally cleansed your soul. See those opportunities to forgive and do it. Now, it's true that things like kindness and compassion and small amounts of forgiveness are not going to make a Reader's Digest extreme list. But that doesn't make them any less pleasing to God or any less extreme. Because we can't do it by ourselves. But thanks to the unity that we share in the gospel, and thanks to the power that God has given us through his word, we can be one forgiving family. May God help us for Jesus' sake. Amen.